Today we're going to look at Romans chapter 3, 21 to 26. And as you, you know, do research in this particular scripture, you'll see that some say this is the biggest scripture verse in the whole New Testament. Romans chapter 3, 21 to 26, it says, "But now apart from the law, the righteousness of God has been made known, to which the law and the prophets testify." This righteousness is given through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. There is no difference between Jew and Gentile, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and all are justified freely by His grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. God presented Christ as a sacrifice of atonement through the shedding of His blood to be received by faith. He did this to demonstrate His righteousness. Because of His forbearance, He had left the sins committed beforehand unpunished. He did it to demonstrate His righteousness at the present time, so as to be just and the one who justifies those who have faith in Jesus. So let me read the message. "But in our time, something new has been added. What Moses and the prophets witnessed to all those years has happened. God, the God setting things right that we read about, has become Jesus setting things right. And not only for us, but for everyone who believes. For there is no difference between us and them, since we've compiled this long and sorry record as sinners, both us and them, both Jew and Gentile, and prove that we are utterly incapable of living the glorious lives God wills for us. God did it for us. Out of sheer generosity, He put us in right standing with Himself, a pure gift. He got us out of the mess we're in and restored us to where He always wanted us to be, and did it by means of Jesus Christ. God sacrificed Jesus on the altar of the world to declare that world of sin. Having faith in Him sets us in the clear. God decided on this course of action in full view of the public, to set the world in the clear with Himself through a sacrifice of Jesus, finally taking care of the sins that He had patiently endured. This is not only clear, but it's now. This is current history. God sets things right. He also makes it possible for us to live in His righteousness." What is this scripture saying to us today? It is saying that God mended the relationship between Him and us by pointing to three important things. First, His Word. He has mended our relationship through His Word. Now, Word to me means a whole bunch of things, but I'll give you the two main ones it means. It means the Word of God, the inspired Word of God, and it means the Word that became what? Flesh. "But now, apart from the law, the righteousness of God has been made known." Made known by what? The prophets and the Old Testament. That's the law. "To which the law and the prophets testify." They testified about this happening. They testified about needing to get right with God. And they tried all sorts of things and they did all sorts of things. The nation of Israel was given the privilege of being God's representative to the whole world by having in their possession the Word of God, the laws of God, which was the only way God at the time could reveal Himself to them and to the world and to us. And so Israel, the nation, were supposed to be that example to show all the other nations who God was. And we've talked about this, where it kind of went down the wrong road. They kind of started acting a little bit more like, well, we're so great. And how many have been in churches that can be like that, or been in groups of Christians, or been in any kind of thing where, or any other group, we're not just picking on Christians, we like to pick on everyone, any kind of group that thinks they're better just because they have a certain set of rules or regulations or a certain look or... And so they did what humans would do. These Old Testament laws and covenants, the rituals that were put in place so that man could have some way to be right with God. They had to do the sacrifices. They had to do all these things to make it all kind of put together, itself together. How could they make themselves right with a holy and just God who is so powerful? He can't be in your wrongdoings. He can't be around your sin. And he's like, well, God's like, this is what you need to do. And they did it, but these things were just temporary. And the systems that were put in place to point to a righteousness or a purity of God that cannot be accomplished by observing the laws or by our actions or anything we do. This was the best they had. The best they had were these rituals, were these sacrifices, and that's what they did. But then it got out of hand. The only way they would have been able to make themselves right with God was through a perfect sacrifice. Someone perfect. And that's why verse 21 says, but no, apart from the law, the righteousness of God has been made known. He's been known, again, made known through what? Through history, through his word, and through Jesus. The law, or his word, showed how holy God was. And Paul, in this little scripture here, says that that law, or those Old Testament rules, those Old Testament things, couldn't fulfill what needed to be done for that relationship with God to be repaired. It was just, to put it in really unspiritual and unholy terms, they stuck a Band-Aid on it, waiting for the ultimate. Or for all you handy people, they use duct tape. And so Jesus puts us in that right relationship with God, a relationship that went sideways with Adam and Eve. The Bible, his word, it reveals his character and his love for us today through the finished work of Jesus Christ. And even though some of these events have happened in the past, in Scripture, long ago, God is still communicating to us today through those events. He's communicating what? His character. He's communicating how much he loves us. He's communicating what you can expect from him, and then how we should respond to that. If you've got questions, get into the Word. You won't understand God if you don't read it. It's like getting married and never speaking to your spouse. You need to communicate. I saw something interesting on the internet the other day, and there was a couple that was struggling with their relationship, and they wrote in there, they were having trouble in their relationship, and what he did was every morning he'd wake up and he'd say, what can I do for you today that would make your day better? Do you wake up, a spouse, whatever, and say, what can I do for you to make your day better? But what if we did that? Jesus has made it better. It's done. God gave us, secondly, his son. He mended this relationship through his son. And it says this in verse 22. This righteousness is given through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. There is no difference between Jew and Gentile, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and all are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. Now, justified, I don't know, many of you may have already heard this thing, but when we used to use the word justified, we would say just as if you'd never sinned. Just as if I'd never sinned. But you did. So it's not just as if you didn't. You did. And now it's clear. God will declare everyone who has put their faith in Jesus as righteous, no matter who they are. It doesn't matter who you are. If you've put your faith in him, he will declare you. You see, Christ's righteousness, which can be seen by his obedience to God's law. So Jesus came and he had to be perfect. He obeyed the law that was truly written. Man got a hold of the law and turned it into something else. Jesus came and said, no, you got it wrong. This is what was meant by the law. Simple little things like this, they would say, Sabbath. Jewish people would say, well, it's the Sabbath, so I can't go that far distance that I needed to go. You can't travel 10 kilometers because it's the Sabbath. But what I can do is travel 8 or 9, stop, take a break, and then take another 8 or 9. And then I can travel and take another 8 or 9. Man got a hold of the law and they changed it. Jesus is saying, no, that's not what that is. And there were many other laws that they had, many other rules, regulations, rituals, whatever you want to call it, that were in place that they messed up. And so Jesus came and he was perfect for the law. That's why they were so mad at him. You don't like it when people come into your house and start moving stuff around, right? Like if I came into your house and started, I'm like, you know what, this picture doesn't work for me. I'm sorry to say. It's all out of balance. I don't like it. Or you know what? I'm just going to take your knickknacks and rearrange them. Michelle, and I love using her as an illustration, especially when she's not in the room. When I go into her office, she has things laid out perfectly. I go in and mess them up. I just like to create havoc. And it drives her crazy. She's like, can you put them back? And I'm like, no. And I close the door and I walk away. That's kind of what Jesus did to the Jews of Israel. He walked in and said, you got it all wrong. And he kicked over everything. And he messed everything up. And so they reacted the way they did. Obedience to God's law. Jesus was perfect. Death on the cross is now credited to you and to me because of his sacrifice. All we need to do is have faith in that act. All you need to do is believe that he did it, that it was for you, that it happened. And this is where other people will get angry with you and say, oh, so I just believe and that's fine. Yes, but with belief. The reason why we use the word faith is because faith is literally, you do have to do something. And they say, oh, but I thought you said it was free. It is free, but I still got to reach out and take it. Faith is us reaching out and taking that gift that he's given to us freely, we take it. So you do have to do something. If you have faith in Jesus Christ, you're going to live out what he said. So you're going to do things because you have faith in him who said, this is how we do. God couldn't give a better fix. We couldn't do anything to make it happen. So he had to. And sometimes we get confused with Jesus paying the price on the cross and the debt being paid. We think the debt's being paid to Satan, to the devil, to the evil one. It's a payment to a God who is so just, who is so powerful and so holy. Something had to be done, and he needed to reach out, and the only way that could happen was with that sacrifice, that perfect sacrifice. Paul is just saying in this Romans that Jesus is the connection, the Son of God. Thirdly, he's mended it, our relationship, through his justice. God presented Christ as a sacrifice of atonement through the shedding of the blood to be received by faith. Okay, we just talked about that, received by faith, accept it, believe. He did this to demonstrate his righteousness. Because of his forbearance, he had left the sins committed beforehand unpunished. He did it to demonstrate his righteousness at the present time, so as to be just, the one who justifies those who has faith in Jesus. So God sent his Son to demonstrate his justice. God had not fully punished the sins beforehand, and we think they did. We think that when they put the sacrifice on the mercy seat, we think that was just... it was temporary, because if they had been in the presence of God and didn't have some type of sacrifice, some type of covering, they would have died a spiritual death like that. God, in his mercy, he passed over their sins, covering the price that needed to be paid until who? Jesus. So the Old Testament believers, they were always looking forward to what God would do someday. They always knew it was coming, and they were always holding on to that Messiah, that concept of the Messiah, because the prophets, the Old Testament, it all spoke about this coming together. And then Jesus comes along and fulfills it all, and they get angry. So they looked forward to the Messiah. We do two things. We look back to what Christ has done on the cross, and then we also look forward to what he's going to do again. So we're doing both. They could only look forward. I mean, they had a lot of stuff right then and there that he was, God was right there, but we have him in us. And so we look back to what Christ has done, rose from the dead, shed blood, and then we look forward to his return to take us all in. Whatever that looks like, it doesn't matter. You know, when I originally went for my original pastoral credentials, my biggest concern was them asking me about eschatology, and that's just a fancy word for saying end times. And I was sitting there, and And I was like, oh, I really hope they don't ask me this question. It just doesn't matter to me because I know in the end we win. But I know that in the end God's going to win and take care of it all for me, so I don't really have to worry about it. So as I'm sitting there in this meeting, I get asked the question, and I'm like, oh, it's been going good so far. This is where it's going to be bad news for me. At that time, it was Dr. Richards, and I had a big, huge panel of, I don't know, I think there were 8 pastors. I got through all my questions, and then I'm like, oh, I made it through. Michelle's sitting beside me. She's nervous, too. And then Dr. Richards goes, so I have a question for you. And I'm like, sure, shoot, doc. Because I'm feeling pretty confident. He says, I would like to know your view on end times. I'm like, oh, sure. What's the question? So he asks me the question. I can't even remember what it was because I zoned out. This is my credentials. This is my life I'm dealing with here. And he started talking, and I'm just sitting there. And many of you know Michelle likes to kick me under the table if I'm not paying attention or if I say something inappropriate. She'll kick me under the table. We're just sitting right there in front of them on 2 chairs in the middle of the room. It's quite intimidating. Dr. Richards, and then what happens, Mark? And I went, well, I must say that Christ returns and we win. And he goes, you're right. And I'm like, boom, yeah. The kids got it. I walked out of there skipping out like Michelle. This is wrapped up. And she's like, you are one lucky boy. And then this other guy came out of another room crying. And so I'm like, very sorry to hear your meeting didn't go well. I'm vibrating because I'm so excited that I got through eschatology from a man who has a doctorate. It doesn't matter about what happens in the end. Don't worry about that stuff. It may be fun to read, and it may be fun to research and figure out, hey, what's going on? And that I love. I love doing research on things that interest me and whatever. But as long as I know in the end we win, I don't need any more. And if you're not into that, all you need to know is you don't need to worry about it. You win. If you could go to a Canucks hockey game and know that they're playing Toronto and will win, we know it doesn't happen. But if we could go there and know, we would go more excited, wouldn't we? If you know they're going to win, you'll go every time. You need to know that you can have confidence in Jesus Christ, that he's going to win because you're putting it in the right team. You're putting in the winning team. He's won. He's a just God. He's a powerful God. And because Jesus did what he did for you on the cross, it's done. Why did God do this? Because he loves you. And he loves me. And he wanted a relationship with us. God's word right here has been pointing to the answer that will mend our relationship with him. It is there that we build our relationship. It is in his word that we build our relationship with him through Jesus Christ because he paid the price in full because he is a just God. And you can know him. I don't need anything else to tell me it's here. His character is in every page of what he is. And that same God wanted to be a part of you, wanted to be right with you. And until we come to that realization, we're never going to get it. Romans is saying, look, because God was so powerful, so holy, and so just, we couldn't have a relationship with him. But guess what? He did something to fix it. And by faith, by believing in him that he did it, you can know him. Let's pray.